16 of John chapter 5, the Jewish leaders are talking, and it says, for this reason, because he healed the man on the Sabbath, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Therefore Jesus answered them and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he wills. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is come, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to exercise judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And last week we covered all the way to verse 29. And Jesus Christ just went off on these guys. They're ready to stone them. They're ready to kill them. They say, because in this culture, if you say that God is your Father, as Jesus did, he says, I've been working with my Father from the beginning of creation. We've been working until now. What are you talking about? I broke the Sabbath. I can't heal a man on the Sabbath. And Jesus is saying, God is my Father, making himself equal with God. And these guys knew it. There was no question in their mind. Anytime you read in the Bible, it says Jesus is the Son of God, or Jesus is calling God his Father. He is saying to that culture, to those people, to us today, I am the very God of gods. I am equal with God. If you turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says the same thing. I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Jesus just said straight out, we're the same. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Notice it says again in John chapter 8, verse 59, they tried to stone him too, and he hid himself and went away. Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered and said, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. There was no question what Jesus was saying. He was saying, I'm God. They said, you're a man and you try to make yourself God. And so these guys now are mad at Jesus for what he's done. He's calling himself equal with God. I and the Father are one. I am deity in human flesh. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ was the God of gods. And it says that he was in the bosom of the Father, John chapter 1, verse 18. And he came to declare who the Father was to us. He came from the very heart of God to show us what God's heart was to sinful humanity that rejected him. And Jesus said, once again, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's just like looking into the Father's eyes when you look at me. Man, when you look inside the eyes of Christ, you're seeing the very heart of the living God, the creator of all things, the God in the Old Testament, the God in the New. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus Christ, the one with such compassion for the people, the one with such love, has come to love me and you the exact same way today. And he's come and he's left his revelation for us to study. And so tonight, as we lift up the Holy Scriptures, and that's what they are, they're holy. It's not just another book. We are going to go into the Word of God in reverence in the heart looking to the Lord Jesus to see what he has for us. And he goes on, as these guys are ready to stone him, picture yourself there, Jesus goes on 15 more times calling God his Father for the reason that he makes himself equal with God. He says, I'm equal with God 15 more times after they're ready to stone him. First of all, Jesus was no wimp. Jesus would confront, Jesus told the truth, no matter what the cost. Jesus Christ was not a wimp. He's crazy. He blows me away. And look what he says. Jesus Christ, the very God of gods, in verse 30 says, I can of myself do nothing. It says in verse 19, it says, most surely I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Jesus says, I of myself can do nothing. We talked about it briefly last week. I of myself can do nothing. If Jesus of himself can do nothing, he's totally dependent on his Father, how much more me and you need to be. You see, the Bible says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And the Bible says that I of myself can do nothing. Nothing good dwells in me, for I am a fallen person. Jesus isn't. Jesus is sinless. I'm sinful. Jesus Christ was totally dependent on the Father, even being sinless. I can't imagine it. How much more I, personally, me, today, need to depend on the Father God. To be so intimate. He was so intimate with the Father. He is showing us right now perfect intimacy with his Father. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, that we should follow in his steps because he was left for an example for us. We should follow in the steps of Christ, walking with God the way he did and how he did. And if he was so dependent, as the Bible says that God is light, he's light. And as I've been just seeking the Lord, I just ask God, the God of all light and holiness, you guys, we got to understand something about God. He is perfect and holy, and holy means holy. No sin, and he hates sin, and he can't deal with sin at all. It's the worst thing in the world to God is sin. He will not put up with it. He hates sin desperately, and he will pour out wrath upon sin. And see, we in the Christian era that we're in, and in America where we live, we brush sin off. God will not brush sin off. In no way. He won't look upon sin. It's disgusting to him. But because of Christ bearing my sin, he can now look upon me. But still, without Christ, without the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, being just as much God as the Father and as Jesus, living within me is the only way in the world that I can do anything that's godly. Anything that's godly. There is no way in and of myself that any good thing dwells. No, not one thing. I can do nothing good. No, not one. Not one thing that I could do that would please God ever. I could, you guys, pray 5 hours a day, study the Word 5 hours a day, go out street witnessing the rest of the night, sleep 2 hours in the night, get up the next morning, do the same thing. I could be the raddest disciple ever, and I will still have sin. I'll still have wickedness. And God cannot deal with just one part of my wickedness. And apart from the blood of Christ, God couldn't even look upon me. You see, apart from God moving in my heart, there is no good thing. You know what this brings? Total brokenness to somebody that realizes it. That I would just sit broken before the Lord, always, continually, saying, Lord Jesus, apart from you, I can do nothing. And in realizing that, I would go to the Lord with every part of my heart. I would hide nothing from him. I would be an open vessel for him to search with the unsearchable light, with that light that penetrates through darkness, with that light that darkness cannot overcome, as we learned. That light, that holy light of God, could flood my soul and cleanse me clean as he could be. I could be so clean. And every time that I had one bad thought, every time that I had one wicked thought, every time that I had one wrong motive in my heart, though I was doing all these holy, righteous things, I would be declared as a sinner. God couldn't look upon me unless the blood of Christ was empowering me, unless he was washing me clean. This means that, man, I've got to die. Forget it. Who am I living for? Something that can't do anything. and I'm trying to hold on to it. And the brokenness that comes is just that, Lord, search me. Knowing that that holy, righteous God and that beautiful light that would come in and flood my soul is so gentle. It's so loving. It's that sweet, beautiful conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit to those that seek the Lord in just gentleness. Son, repent. I love you. And as He gives me the power even to repent. For no one can come unto Jesus unless the Father draws them. It is all Him. I find myself just worshiping. No longer condemning because He loves me, though I deserve condemnation, though I have plenty in myself to condemn myself for, no longer condemning, but just saying, man, I need God. You know what this does? It stirs within my soul the deepest need and longing for the living God. It gives me a hunger within, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I have a need and I see my need and recognize it. We all have the need. But I recognize this need, it's so powerful. And man, I find myself totally dependent on Christ. Oh, Holy Spirit, unless you do it, I can't. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Oh, I can't do nothing, Father. But you can, you will. And as Paul said there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when He's my strength, man, watch out. Because I can just be free. I can be filled. This week I've lived so free. I've just said, I can't, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. You will. Not, I can't. I know you will or you can, but will you for me? No. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I am totally dependent. I can do nothing. Jesus Christ said it Himself. How much more do I need it? And when you're doing this, you always know. Because as Jesus says, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. Now He's talking about the judgment. He says, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. But I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. You see, when I'm seeking the will of the Father, I'm living like this. When I am saying, Lord, I am totally bankrupt apart from you, apart from your filling, apart from your empowering, I have no hope, I have no way to live godly. And Father, I pray, not my will be done, because man, when I realize that there's truly nothing in me, I realize my will would bring me misery. My will? I don't know even how to walk with God, let alone make out a will for my life or say, this is what I should do, God, and come here, God, this is how. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name you would give me that girl to marry. And God, I pray, I claim that over there, and I claim this. And my will is so corrupted, because I'm corrupt. But as I seek His will, now Jesus' will was not corrupted. Jesus there in the garden said, Father, if there's any other way around the cross, let's go that way. I don't want to go through all this pain and the sufferings that set before me. Even Jesus knew the Father's will had sufferings in it for Him. Knew the Father's will had a hard time, had trials and tribulations ahead of Him. But as He knew that, because He knew all things, He said, not thy will be done, but yours. That should be my heart, no matter what. Are you willing, at all costs, at every cost of your life, to walk in the will of God, no matter what it takes, knowing that your Father will is much better than yours ever will be. He knows what He's doing and He loves you and He purchased you. That's trusting the Lord with all your heart, leaning not to your own understanding. That's trusting the Lord. And as I do that, I will acknowledge Him in all my ways and He will do what? Direct my path. He will put His will in front of me. You say, I don't know God's will. Are you willing to walk in it, first of all? If you're not willing to walk in God's will, He's not going to show it to you. You must be surrendered before you're ever going to know the will of God. How can you walk in the will of God when you won't truly surrender? You see, this is a true man of God. If you've met God, a true man or woman of God, it's I'm on my face and He's on the throne. Not me standing by the throne with Him saying, well, let me counsel you here, Lord. And no, it's me on my face. As Abraham, he was on his face before the Lord. God was on the throne. And if you say, Trent, I want the Lord, and I've sought the Lord, and I seem to come up short, I just can't find Him, I want to ask you, what are your motives of your heart? If you're seeking the Lord to know Him, to walk with Him, to do whatever He says, let me tell you, you're going to meet Him face to face. No question about it. You must, again, you must experience the living God. That's what the whole Bible was written for, that you could have fellowship with God and experience Him personally and radically, that you could walk in the passion of the Holy Spirit moving you and being totally surrendered to Him and having the fire and that consuming fire from His altar being the scent of Christ, the fragrant aroma of Christ, a chosen vessel, a child of the living God. You are able to meet Him so personally, so intimately, and meet Him face to face. And there's not one of you in this room tonight that can't meet God like that. But if you say, Trent, no, that's not true, because I've tried and I've tried. I want to tell you right now, you need to surrender and then try again. You need to be willing to say, no matter what the cost, God, I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I live by faith. God, I want to live for You. Lord, I want to meet You personally and intimately. I'll tell you, you'll meet the living God. He's not going to hold Himself back. But He will not show you things, and He's not going to reveal things to you when He knows you're not going to do them. Now, you say, well, I want to do that, but I'm so weak. When I know the will of God in my flesh, there's that war and struggle, and there's that fight, and that means I got to be perfect to come to God. Therefore, He'll give me His will, because if I don't do what He says, He's not going to show me His will. No, it's surrendering. I can't even do Your will, Lord, apart from You. And just totally dependent on God. You're just like this. You're just, God help. So broken before God. Let me tell you, you show me a broken person like that, I'll show you somebody so filled with the power of God. You won't know they're broken. You won't know. You'll think, man, this guy is just so strong. How does he just keep on going? And he just is like an animal. He's another Paul the Apostle. What has happened? He's broken before the living God. I guarantee this man or woman is on their face before God. This person is surrendered in their heart to the living God, not willing to please man for compromise, but willing to please God and not compromise, but the whole time saying, I can't. I have no power. I know what to do is good, but I don't find the power to do it, as Paul said in Romans chapter 7. But he moves into Romans chapter 8 and says, it's His Spirit that's living in me that will give me the power to do it. It's Him that I can do all things through. It's His Spirit. I'm free. And you'll watch somebody that's been living a Christian life in their will and just miserable and sometimes happy, going up and down. You'll watch them as they surrender their heart. You'll watch them break out of a shell and fly like an eagle. You'll just see them just take off and you'll go, what happened? And they are just moving and moving for the throne, towards the throne, getting closer to the Lord. And you'll just see them being anointed of God and filled with the power of God. And you'll just think they just got born again or something. You'll say, what, were they not saved before? No, they weren't surrendered before. You see, the life of surrender is a life of the fullness of the living God. The life that says, now to Him who's able, because they aren't living no more. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever ask or think. To Him be the glory. They're always giving glory to the Father. They're always worshiping the Father. They're always pointing people to the Father. We talked about it on Sunday. It's a man like John the Baptist just saying, it's Him. Look at Jesus. He'll do it. You see, they're gone. And when you look at them, you see Jesus. You guys, I want to be a person that when people are around me, they see something totally different. They see something powerful. Not that they see something of me, but they see the bride of Christ in me. Not that they see anything, oh, Trent's great. They just say, man, if I want to know that guy's God. I want to know the God that guy knows. That's not religion. I've talked to a lot of Christians, but man, this person has something that I want a taste of. You see, A.W. Tozer says, in every one of our souls, we have the taste buds for God. and God put them in there. There's taste buds in your soul dying to taste the living God, and we're trying to fill it with everything we possibly can, and it's in there, and they're just saying, get me God and I'll be satisfied. Get me God and I'll be satisfied. You won't be satisfied with anything else. There's just number of things you can put in your soul. You can put in great music. You can put in drugs. You can put in sex. You can just put in carnality. You can just put in fun. You can put in relationships, and you're just, man, these taste buds are just getting thirstier. They're just going, this is wicked, sick, garbage. I'm looking for God. And when you let God in, man, they are so satisfied. They are so satisfied. But one thing about being satisfied with God, you're never satisfied enough. Because you just get those taste buds now activating, and they're just thirsting, and they're getting hungrier and hungrier, and saying, I want more of that. That's some good food. And the scriptures is what it is, just feeding my soul with it. And I'm just so satisfied with the Lord. You see, all you need is God. All I need is God. Nothing else. Oh, He'll give me all that I need. Everything else, I need my Father. I need my intimate Father. You show me somebody that met God, and I'll tell you, they have no need in their life but for more of God. Jesus Christ is the perfect example. He has no needs. He's not looking for people to praise. He's not looking for people to do things for Him. In fact, Jesus Christ never even performed a miracle to satisfy Himself. I mean, you think of it. He's hungry, you know. Let's just cook up some bread here. You know, I mean, you know, it's they're out in the wilderness. They've been walking all night. They've, you know, it's tired. A few little mats there, little cots. You know, why not? A hotel, you know. Nobody will see it. Why? He never did it for Himself. He was totally satisfied. He was totally satisfied with God. With His Father. He was so caught up with His Father, he could think of nothing else. What came out of His mouth was of His Father. Everything was about His Father. Even when people were ready to stone Him for calling Him His Father, He just continues, even gets more. He just keeps going, Father, Father, I can't do nothing without Him. He's my Father. We're equal with one another. I can raise the dead as my Father raises the dead. My Father's given me all power to judge. I'll be there in the judgment day. I'm there, my Father. And He's just talking about His Father. He's talking about raising the dead and bringing life to that which doesn't. He's saying, I'm the Son of God, and the dead will hear my voice, and they'll be born again, and they'll live. He isn't messing around. He doesn't care a bit what people think of Him. And He goes on, and He says in verse 31, for now, you've got to picture it. It's like we're in a courtroom now. He's talking to these Jewish religious leaders, and He's saying, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true, or my witness is not valid. There is one who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. He's saying, I could bear witness of myself, being that I'm full of truth, that I'm come grace and truth, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory full of grace and truth in John chapter 1, verse 14. He was truth, and He could have bore witness of Himself, but He says, that's not valid witness. That's not a valid witness. No, I've got greater witnesses. And now He goes on, and He says, there is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Now, He's talking about the Father there, and we'll come back to that. And He goes on in verse 33, you have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. Notice why Jesus is saying these things. Not to condemn, but to save. Jesus Christ, every motive of His heart was for the salvation of mankind. He came into the world to save man. He did not come to condemn. He did not come to judge. We talked about it last week. If you weren't here, get the tape about how Jesus has authority to judge and why God gave Him that authority. He didn't come to judge. He came to save. He came to save mankind. I'm saying this to you guys that you could be saved. Though these people were coming against Him, though these people were coming down on Him, He just loved them. All He wants is to say, I'm saying these things that you may be saved. And He's talking about John the Baptist, verse 35. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in His light. John the Baptist, we talked about it last week. He was the burning and shining lamp. And if you have an old King James Version, it will say he was the burning and burning and shining light, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. And those two words are different, that light. The first one is like a lamp, the vessel, as we talked about last week, and the second one is actually a light. You see, Jesus Christ sent John to bear witness of him, and John did do that, and he declared him perfectly. And we talked about it Sunday as he was burning out there, just a vessel pointing to the Lord, on fire for the Lord, and the fire that was in him wasn't of himself. It was just the Holy Spirit's oil just burning in him. And he says, I could go to John and tell you about John. John's a perfect witness for me. He was bearing witness to this light. He says, but he doesn't take testimony. He's not going to receive testimony from man. So he's just given us two people that he could testify of, himself and of John. And he says, I reject those because I've got better. And he says in verse 36, but I have a greater witness than John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very work I do bears witness of me that the Father has sent me. Jesus says that the works he's doing are bearing witness of him, that the Father God is with him, that the Father God has sent him, that the Father God has ordained his ministry, that the Father God is doing work through him, and that he is the Son of God. And John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31 tell us why John wrote the book. And he did it to let us see these signs that Jesus did, that we would believe that he is the Son of God. And he is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one sent into the world to save mankind, that we would believe this. And by the works that Jesus Christ did, by the miracles that he performed, and by the greatest work that he ever did, by going to Calvary for me and you, and dying on that cross for me and you, and rising again, which was the miracle of all miracles, that he says, nobody takes my life, but I lay it down and I pick it up again. And he says he rose himself from the dead. Now the Bible also says that the Father rose him from the dead, and the Bible also says that the Holy Spirit rose him from the dead, and we find the Trinity working in one accord here, all raising Christ from the dead. And we find that that work that he did, he conquered the grave, he conquered hell, and he conquered death for me and you. And he said, if you'd believe in me, you'd pass from death into life, and that life more abundantly. But if you would reject me, you will not pass from death to life. You will pass from death to eternal death, which is not death at all, but it's eternal torment, and you wish you could die. It says where the worm will never die. He wishes he could die. And Jesus Christ, by the signs and wonders he did, was proving his very deity. And we'll see it next week, how he had power over creation. He had power to create out of barely anything a lot of bread. And out of a few fish, a lot of fish. He had power over the seas and the winds. He had power over creation himself, because he was the creator, as John 1 says, that all things were created by him, and without him nothing was created that was made. He was the creator. And he's saying, I am proving my deity, and this is the witness for me. This is the witness that I am God Almighty. This is the witness of my deity, that the works that I'm doing are from the Father himself. Now, does this mean that all works that people do, all signs and miracles that happen, does that mean everybody that does a miracle is from the Father? For many of us think that to be true today. You'd say, yeah, anybody that does a miracle. No, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says the Antichrist is going to perform signs and wonders. In Revelations, it says the same thing. There's people that can perform signs and wonders that are not from the Lord. And so we must be careful, because all those that do perform signs and wonders that are from the Lord will say this, I can do nothing without my Father. I seek my Father's will. I give him glory. We'll be humble, broken people that line up with the scriptures every single time. And Jesus Christ proves it by the works that he does. He also proves it in verse 37. He says, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me, and you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his words abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. He says, you haven't heard my Father's voice. My Father bears witness of me because he sent me. He testifies of me himself, and you never heard his voice. You guys, do you know what the voice of God is for us today? Well, Jesus is speaking of his baptism. The Father says the heavens open. It says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. There on the Mount of Transfigurations, it says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Can we hear him? These guys' heart were unwilling to receive. We'll see in a minute. They searched the scriptures with hardened hearts, not willing to receive Jesus. The Bible today, the whole Bible, is all summed up right here. It's all about Jesus. The Old Testament points to the Gospels and the Epistles and Revelation and Acts point back to the Gospels. It's like this. There's just big pointers going to Jesus right there in the Gospels. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the cross. It's the center focus. Everything goes out from the cross. It's all about Jesus Christ finishing the work at Calvary. These religious leaders did not hear his voice, nor have they ever seen his form. Have you ever seen the living God? No, I'm not talking about beholding him with your eyes. I'm talking about with your soul. Have you ever tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Do you hear his voice? He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Those that aren't my sheep, they don't. Verse 38, but you do not have his words abiding in you because whom he sent, you do not believe. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you truly believe in him? Is his word, the Father's word, abiding in your heart? It means to take up residence. And notice it's in the continual, abiding. It's continually abiding. As I'm abiding in Christ and his words are abiding in me, and I will bear much fruit. Are you abiding today in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you abide in him? Has his word been hidden in your heart that you may not sin against him? Has it taken up residence? Has it ruled your life? Have you submitted to the Word of God? Have you come down as the Word comes up? Have you gone down and humbled yourself on your face before the Lord as he's on the throne? Have you said, your will be done? His will, right here. His will be done. I submit to your Word. It abides in my heart. Lord, and here I am. I am broken and I can do nothing without you. No, not one thing. And Lord Jesus, put your word in my heart that I may be able to do something, that I may know your will, that I may have discernment and wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things from your law, as the psalmist says. Open my eyes, Lord. Let me behold the good and the precious word of God. Let me see what is in that word. Let me hear with spiritual ears. Lord, as I come to your word, I can't do nothing. Lord, I'm flesh. And your word says that Jesus says my word is spirit and it is life. And the flesh profits nothing. Lord, give me spiritual ears. Let me hear, Father. Put my mind in eternity. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. For where your heart is, there your treasures are also. Is your heart in the Word of God? For if it is, your treasure is in the Word of God, in the will of God, abiding in the Word of God. Jesus goes on to say to these guys, he says, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life, eternal life. And they are these which testify of me. And these are these which testify of me. That is the testimony of me. The complete Word of God. These guys didn't have the Gospel of John and they weren't reading from it. Jesus was making it up right here. These guys didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament Scriptures. And Jesus is saying, you search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. And this is what testifies of me. This is the testimony of me. Do you know it? Are you blind? Haven't you seen? The word search here means to have a scent as a bloodhound tracks out the blood of an animal. It means to search deeply. It means to look at closely. Have you followed the bloodline of the living Savior, Jesus Christ, all the way through the Old Testament and all the way through the New? Have you seen what the Bible all's about? Jesus says, it is my testimony, the Old Testament scriptures. You guys, are you searchers of the word? Jesus isn't saying, if you search the scriptures, that's not a good thing to do. This is one of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible. I hear people saying, yeah, search the scriptures, and then you think you have life. Yeah, if you're not looking for Jesus. If you're looking for Jesus, that's the purpose of the scriptures, is to point you to Jesus. Let me ask you, what is your whole purpose of Christianity? What is it? Is it just religion? Is it a bummer to you? Do you come to Bible study because somebody drags you? Or is it the relationship that is so precious to you, that which you'll lay your life down for? Why do you search the scriptures? My friends, I search the scriptures today, and I do find life in them as I find the Lord Jesus Christ. Search them and find him. Who are you searching for? Theology? Doctrine? Those are great if you're looking for Jesus in them, because all theology and all doctrine is based around Jesus. I love theology. I love doctrine. I love the attributes of God and the deity of Jesus Christ and the atoning blood of Christ, and searching and studying doctrine. It only draws me closer to my Lord, because my heart is, oh God, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection, that I may have fellowship with you, that I may walk as you are in the light, that I may walk in the light, that we may have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing me from my sin, that I may go closer and closer and closer to you, O Lord. Is that the reason you search? And I'm talking about a searching of the scriptures. You will find life. For Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth, and I'm the life. I'm the life. Does his word abide in your heart tonight? Has it taken up residence and taken hold of your heart and taken hold of your very being and your life? And is it moving you and controlling you and pushing you on to fight the fight of faith, to finish the race, to finish that course? See, Jesus had a course that was set down before him. Jesus said, I'm going to finish those works, meaning there was a work for him to finish, predestined from the foundations of the world, and he was going to finish that course. He was on that race. He was fighting that fight. He was going to lay his life down for humanity. Are you willing to lay your life down to have the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ? Are you willing to take up the word of God and let it abide in your heart? Are you willing to search out that bloodline? Are you willing to take up the Lord Jesus Christ and let him be so in your heart? Let him take captive of you. Let him move you. Do you love the Lord? Have you fallen in love with Jesus today more than yesterday? Have you fallen in love with him? He's dying to love you. He's dying to pour out his spirit on you. But God says, I resist the proud and give grace to the humble. You prideful in your heart tonight? I know it. I know God. Oh, you don't know God, and neither do I. He is so big. I'll never know him all completely. There's so much to know about my God, so much experience to have with him, so much intimate fellowship and time that I can spend with my Lord. Do you know the God of gods, the God of all creation? Have you intimately fellowshipped with him today? Or is it just a religion? Does this word abide in your heart? Has it captured you and taken hold of you? Is it life to your very soul? Jesus says, it testifies of me. My works testify of me. My Father's voice testifies of me. And the Old Testament scriptures testify of me. And he says, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Here it is. Why do we not have life? Why do these religious people reject him? Because they're prideful of their heart, and they will reject him, though they know the scriptures, you guys, better than we do. They won't have life because they aren't willing to come to the Lord humbly and broken and confessing their sins and saying, I can do nothing without you, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, my life is yours, and I lay it down at your altar. Are you willing to come to the Lord tonight? Are you willing to lay it down? Are you willing to come to Jesus Christ? You guys, that's the reason people will go to hell, because they are not willing to come into the light, that their deeds may be clearly seen that they're done in God, as chapter 3 says. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love their dark deeds rather than the light because their deeds are evil and they reject Christ. Are you willing? Yes, we have a will. Not only that, but are you willing today, after you've submitted your heart to Christ, you've been born again, are you willing now to go deeper with the Lord? To lay aside more as He convicts you? Are you willing to study His scriptures and come to Him? Are you willing to come and fellowship with Him intimately? Are you willing to move closer and closer to the light and let more of your sin be revealed and let Him strip you clean of all of your wickedness? Are you willing to come to Him that He may give you life? Life, and that life more abundantly. I can never have too much life. I can never have too much of Jesus. I can never have too much of what He's done for me at Calvary. There's not enough. I can never get enough. My soul just thirsts more. The taste buds just get more tasty. And they just want more and more and more. Is that how your heart is tonight? If it's not, we need to just lay it aside. We need to just humble ourselves at His feet. We need to be like Mary and wash His feet with our tears. We need to repent of our sins. We need to come to Him and be broken before Him and just know He loves me and He's got goodness for me. And we need to dedicate our hearts to His Word. We need to dedicate our hearts into prayer. We need to dedicate our lives to Him. And to be willing at all times, at any day, at any hour, to come to Him freely. To come just as you are. And He says, I do not receive honor from man, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. For I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. But if anyone comes in his own name, him you receive. He says, I've come in my Father's name. You won't receive me. But if some other bozo comes on up, you'll receive him. You'll receive Buddha, no big deal. Muhammad, he's cool. Jesus, no way. He confronts my sin. I don't want to receive him. He says, I don't receive honor from man. I'm not saying, come to me and man will honor you. I'm telling you, if you come to me, if you're willing to come to me and find life, people are going to think you're weird. Are you willing to let them see the bride of Christ in you? Are you willing to let Him see the Lord Jesus Christ shining in you? If you're convicted of sin, if you're there in the park just hanging out with the Lord, are you willing to get on your knees in front of all? Not so all could see you and praise you, but are you willing to just let it go? Are you willing to let Him live? Let Him live in you that all can see and not care what man thinks. Not honor from man, but honor from God. Are you willing to come to Him? Jesus says, you receive honor from one another. How can you believe? How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? You guys, I ask myself this question. Trent, why don't you believe? Why don't you really believe? Jesus says, Trent, how can you believe when you seek honor from one another? It's our problem. We're looking for other people to honor us. Jesus says, you can't believe if you're doing that. Everything in my word is contrary to that. Paul the Apostle was a man that received much honor when his name was Saul, and he was a Pharisee before he was converted. He was exactly like these people Jesus is talking to. In fact, Acts chapter 9, verse 4, Paul the Apostle, as he got converted, Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? As Saul, as he was there, he was going to kill Christians to persecute them. And Jesus says, you persecute them, you're persecuting me. You're trying to kill me just as these people were. And later on in Paul's life, as he got converted and he got born again, a man that received glory and honor from many. He was a high religious leader. He was very prideful. He was very well known. He said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, he said, do I now persuade man or God? Or do I now seek to please man? For if I still please man, I could not or I would not be a servant of Christ. He said, if I still please, because he used to please. And he says, and if I still continue down that road, I could not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Our problem is we get converted and we never let that part be changed and sanctified in our lives. today, the Lord wants to change that. Do you receive honor from man or from the only true God? Who do you look toward to get honor from? Who do you want to honor, man or God? Paul says, I can't serve Jesus Christ. No way in the world I can serve Him if I'm getting honor from man. Let men go. Forget about what men think. Forget about what even your brothers and sisters think. Forget about what this world says for you to do and who you should be and how you should look and what you should drive and what you should wear. Forget it all and lay it aside. Ask the Lord what you should do. Is He your Father? Is He your Daddy, Abba, Father? Is He your intimate Papa? Do you walk with Him hand in hand? Do you have fellowship in the light as He is in the light? Do you walk with the living God broken before His throne, worshiping Him with His Word abiding in you, living for Him and nothing else? For you cannot serve two masters. For either you'll hate the one and love the other. There is no way you can serve God in this world. No way in the world. And Paul says, I couldn't be a servant of Christ. And you ask yourself, why can't I believe? That's why. That's why. Because you won't submit. You won't submit to the living God, truly. Just submit. I'm telling you to get radical. Radical for the Lord. Not an idiot, but radical. Laying it aside. I don't care. My taste buds, they're so thirsty. I'm sick of the world. It hasn't satisfied me. And not only that, they don't love me like He loves me. He gave His life for me. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection, and I'm willing at all costs to do it. No matter what it takes, I'll do it. And when your heart says, no matter what it takes, I burn within God, and I want to know You. He says, now we're talking. Resist the devil and he will flee, and draw near to God and God will draw near to you. It says submit to God and draw near to Him. That's when He's going to draw near to you. When you're willing to be real. He's not wasting His time. And you say, but I fail continually. That's okay. Because He's going to empower you like you've never been empowered. It says through the knowledge of Him, through the Scriptures, we have the divine nature. The divine nature to make us live like Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at it. It's through the knowledge, through the Scriptures, they give me this power as they abide, as I'm looking for Jesus and one purpose, to fellowship with Him, to know Him more intimately. Verse 45, Jesus says, do not think that I shall accuse you to my Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. If you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. Jesus says, and let me tell you something. I'm not going to have to accuse you to my Father. Though I have all authority to judge, I'm not going to have to judge you. The law will. Moses' law. It will judge you, and it will condemn you. Christians, Jesus is not the accuser of the brother. Satan is. When you're accused, that's not your Jesus. No, don't think I will accuse you to my Father, for there is one that will accuse you, Moses, who wrote about me. If you would have believed Moses, you would believe my words. You would believe me. If you believe the Old Testament, what they, quote, lived by, which they said that their lives were surrendered to, if you would have really, with a heart, looked into the Scriptures, you would have found Jesus. You would have found life, and that life more abundantly. And you would now today believe in me. If you stand before the judgment seat of Almighty God, don't think Jesus has anything to accuse you of. All He's got to do is point to the law. For the law, it says, kills in Romans chapter 7, verse 10 and 11. It kills. It kills. What's the purpose of the law? Galatians chapter 3 says, well, then what purpose do we have of the law? It's to drive us to Christ, to show me my need for Christ. It's to show me I need a Savior. It's to break me and make me nothing. The law is holy, just, and perfect. Romans chapter 7 says it's righteous and it's good. But I'm wicked, sinful, and unpurposed. I am unrighteous and I'm not good. And the law says, you've fallen. And Jesus says, and I'll pick you up. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus tonight? He closes with this. But if you do not believe in his writings, how will you believe in my words? Do you believe in the word of God? Do you believe in the word of Jesus? Does his word abide in your heart? Tonight, have you committed your life to Christ? Have you laid it all aside? Have you surrendered your heart to the living God? Do you want to worship him? Do you want to praise him? Or do you want to get out of here because you're really bored? That's because right now, spiritually, you're dead. You have no life in you, no spiritual life at all. Oh, you have physical life, you're breathing. And that's only by the grace of God because he holds every breath in his very hand. And he could take it any time he wants, and it could be totally just that he does so. For he has done nothing wrong, but we have. But he doesn't. But what if he did tonight? Where would you go? Have you ever thought of life after death? Jesus talked about it. He thought about it. In fact, he came because he thought about it so much. He came to save you from eternal damnation. Through the knowledge of him, through the scriptures, we have the divine nature. The divine nature to make us live like Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at it. It's through the knowledge, through the scriptures, they give me this power as they abide, as I'm looking for Jesus and one purpose, to fellowship with him, to know him more intimately. Verse 45, Jesus says, "Do not think that I shall accuse you to my Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. If you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me." Jesus says, and let me tell you something. I'm not going to have to accuse you to my Father. Though I have all authority to judge, I'm not going to have to judge you. The law will. Moses' law. It will judge you and it will condemn you. Christians, Jesus is not the accuser of the brethren. Satan is. When you're accused, that's not your Jesus. No. Don't think I will accuse you to my Father. For there is one that will accuse you, Moses, who wrote about me. If you would have believed Moses, you would believe my words. You would believe me. If you believe the Old Testament, which they, quote, lived by, which they said that their lives were surrendered to, if you would have really, with a heart, looked into the scriptures, you would have found Jesus. You would have found life, and that life more abundantly, and you would now today believe in me. If you stand before the judgment seat of Almighty God, don't think Jesus has anything to accuse you of. All he's got to do is point to the law. For the law, it says, kills in Romans chapter 7, verse 10 and 11. It kills. It kills. What's the purpose of the law? Galatians chapter 3 says, well, then what purpose do we have of the law? It's to drive us to Christ, to show me my need for Christ. It's to show me I need a Savior. It's to break me and make me nothing. The law is holy, just, and perfect. Romans chapter 7 says, it's righteous. And it's good, but I'm wicked, sinful, and unpurposed. I am unrighteous, and I'm not good. And the law says, you've fallen. And Jesus says, and I'll pick you up. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus tonight? He closes with this. But if you do not believe in his writings, how will you believe in my words? Do you believe in the word of God? Do you believe in the word of Jesus? Does his word abide in your heart? Tonight, have you committed your life to Christ? Have you laid it all aside? Have you surrendered your heart to the living God? Do you want to worship him? Do you want to praise him? Or do you want to get out of here because you're really bored? That's because right now, spiritually, you're dead. You have no life in you, no spiritual life at all. Oh, you have physical life, you're breathing. And that's only by the grace of God because he holds every breath in his very hand. And he could take it any time he wants, and it could be totally just that he does so. For he has done nothing wrong, but we have. But he doesn't. But what if he did tonight? Where would you go? Have you ever thought of life after death? Jesus talked about it. He thought about it. In fact, he came because he thought about it so much. He came to save you from eternal damnation. Are you a believer tonight? Do you believe in Jesus? And when you believe in Jesus, your life will be like Jesus. Your life will be surrendered. Your life will be given over to the Lord. Do you believe in Jesus tonight? Have you been born again? Can you tell me, Trent, I've experienced God. I know He's real. He's touched my heart. He's changed my desires. I no longer do what I wanted to do in the past. I've been touched by Jesus. Yes, I believe in Jesus. And you can stand up and say, yes, I believe in Jesus. He's my God and my Savior, my Father in whom I trust. He's my all in all, and I live my life for Him. Do you believe in Jesus? Good. Then you're ready to worship Him and praise His holy name at any day of the week. You love Bible study. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you surrendered your heart and your life and your will to Him? He says, you are not willing to have life because you are not willing to come to me. Are you willing tonight to come to the Lord Jesus? There's many of you here tonight that don't know Jesus. You know it. You don't know Jesus. You've never experienced God. And if you would say, Trent, I desire to. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a stand in front of all these people and to come forward and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, because the Lord's laid it on my heart, and maybe you won't get up and maybe you won't come down, but the Lord Jesus says, are you willing to come that I may give you life? Are you willing to come? And you willing to not get honor from man and not care who's sitting next to you? Is the pride of your heart going to hold you back from the eternal realm, from everlasting life and His glory and presence? Is the pride of life going to hold you back? Are the cares and riches of this world going to hold you back? Jesus says, what is it a profit of man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul in hell? He says, don't fear the man that can kill the body, but fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. Yes, that's reality. Do you care about that? If you don't, Paul the Apostle says in Galatians chapter 3, how foolish have you become? Are you so crazy? You would say this. You know what? I heard everything you said tonight. This Jesus thing, it's cool. It's just not for me. No, I would rather not have God. No, I don't want fellowship with the living God. I don't want to talk to God who loves me. No, I don't want everlasting life. In fact, I think I'll walk away tonight and, live in my sin, live with condemnation on me every day, do my thing, maybe, play around a little bit, party it up, Maybe I'll get drunk tonight, get hit by a car. Who knows, You never know what happens. And then I'll go to hell. Yeah, I think that's what I'll do. You would laugh if you really said it, but that's what you would be saying. That's what you would be saying. No, I reject God, and I reject His love and His grace for me. I reject that. Forget that. No, I don't want that. I reject His love for me. I reject eternity with Him in His presence where it will never fade away. I reject joy inexpressible and full of glory. I reject the Son of God who loves me and died for me. You would be a fool. You would say, I'll gain the whole world, but I'll lose my very soul. Eternity is forever and ever. And let me tell you, if you come to God tonight, you will still have trials. In fact, they might get worse. Because the devil will try to test you. He doesn't want you coming. And right now, he's throwing thoughts in your mind how if there's any way possible you could get out of this room, you could run as fast as you can. Just get me out of here. I can't wait until this guy shuts up and I can get out of here. And I'm telling you right now, the Lord Jesus Christ is on the other side saying, I love you. Why don't you come? And as you harden and harden, Proverbs says that he who hardens his neck, hardens his will, continually, it gets harder and harder and harder, his heart. And it says, there is no remedy for him, and there will become swift destruction will come upon him. Your heart will get so hard. You'll say, later. I'll do it when I get older. I got a party now. I'll tell you right now, all your partying could never get near the love of God. It is a joke. I did it. I partied my life away. I was a drug addict and a drug dealer in this very town. I was an alcoholic and I was an immoral man. And I knew Jesus Christ was real. And I knew He was right. But I said, I won't become a Christian until I'm older because I need to have fun now. Oh, fun? I was so miserable. Oh, I didn't think so then. But when I became a Christian, when I surrendered my will to Him, as He broke me, I never had so much fun in my life. Man, if you say that tonight, you are so wrong. You don't know because you're only on the other side. I've stepped across the line. And my friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, there's no greater joy than walking with God. Yeah, I go through trials all the time, more than I ever have in my life, and I grow closer in fellowship with the living God, and my soul thirsts after God, after the living God, and I love Him, and I walk with Him, and I become more like Jesus every day. Will you tonight surrender your heart? Will you tonight give it up? Will you just say, Jesus, I'm willing. I'm willing. Will you come in? We're going to pray right now. After we pray, we're going to do a song. And I'm just going to ask you, get out of your seat and come forward. And remember, the pride of life, will it keep you from God? Are you serious? Are you ready to lay it down? Father, we're in need of You, God. My friends here, Lord, that don't know You are in need of You. And God, we love them. And Lord, not a person in this room would look at them and laugh at them, but instead they're praying for them and praying, God, that You'd save them, that they may taste of You. God, I pray You would have Your way. You would draw souls, Jesus. You'd move mighty. Father, I pray those that don't have an intimate relationship would come forward. Please, God, help. In Jesus' name, amen. Just get up out of your seat right now and come forward and receive forgiveness of your sins.